The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but they often make you smile. They often make you think. You scratch your head and you go, is this Christian programming? And the answer is yes. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, a lot closer now than it was yesterday, huh? Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. Some of us will, some of us won't. I encourage you to do so. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Good question. I got the bill last week. Good question. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow at the same time, real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That process, being in the world but not influenced by the world, but being a light that shines in the world. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we encourage you to reach out to us. Now, the way you do that is you call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483, or you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. We bring that up for several reasons. One, that's the email. That's the way to get a hold of us. And then two, it also leads us to lead you to the website, which has videos and audios and spiritual sayings and goofy sayings. And there's even a link there for how to build a starship. And there's a lot of stuff on there. You got to kind of check it out. Have a good time with it. Also, there's a place to give. Yeah, I'm not a total idiot. So, yeah, it's like there's a place to give. We want you to check that out. Go to hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, now if you have a praise report, a prayer request, if you have an answer to trivia, which we'll get to in a minute in the other segment, we want you to be able to access us. You can either call us, you can text us, you can email us. Let me give a shout out to two things. One, Bill M. I'm not going to tell you his last name because we don't really typically do that on the show, but he's been helping me with the transcripts. So I just want to say thank you, Bill. He's been helping me out with the book. So a big thank you. You know, I was supposed to email him this weekend. I was so slammed. I forgot. Yeah, it's one of those sad things. But anyway, big props for him. Appreciate his work. The other part is we need to take a moment to pray for my professor. So I have multiple professors, as you might imagine, across the country. This is Professor A. He's one of my favorite guys in all of academics. He's having some surgery today. I'm actually ending his class this week and starting, and I'm in the second week of the other class. So I have a newer professor in this newer class, but I just want to do a prayer for him because he's in the hospital. So let's pray for him just as a group because it's kind of what we do. Let's bring it before the Lord. Father, we come before you and we lift up Professor A to you. You know exactly who he is. And we ask you just to bless and encourage and heal his body. He's in there. It's going to be a good surgery in the sense that it's helpful for what he's about to go through. But there's some concerns there. There's some sensitivity issues there. And we are just asking you to guide the doctors in this process to bring a comfort for the professor and let him have full confidence in your glory and in your will and your faithfulness to help him get through the process, recover quickly. That's a real big thing, Lord, for him to recover quickly and be himself and feel comfortable. And we just ask for peace for him and his family. We lift them up before you. Pray your grace and your blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. That's what we do, man. That's what we do. We pray for one another. That's because that's what Jesus calls us to do, to love one another. And if I was going in for surgery and you knew I was going in for surgery, I would want you guys praying. That's how I would want to be treated. I would want to feel like somebody's thinking, caring, and kind of like, you know, getting that process going. And he's got people all over that are doing it, but we want to be a part of those people, right? Right. Thank you very much. All right, is there anything else we need to cover right off the bat? No, I think we can go right into our teaching. This is going to absolutely, some of this is very stunner material. That's a nice way to put it. We're going to back it up to Matthew 4:1 and kind of do a ramp all the way through unto Matthew 4:3. It says, and Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Then the tempter approached him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Now, a lot of people read that, myself included, and I see a couple of things there that are worthy of note, something we should be considering, something that is worth the expository time, and that is when Satan said, if you are the Son of God, there's many commentators that believe that this had much more to do with Satan challenging Jesus as his mission than as he is as a person. I think there's merit to that point of view. I just don't think there's merit to excluding in that point of view. So let me help you out with what my perspective would be on that, and maybe this will be helpful for you as well. I think Satan drops in self-doubt against us all the time, not even on a monthly basis or maybe even a weekly basis. I think he drops self-doubt against us on an hourly basis, if not an every other hour basis, just trying to challenge us for who we are as the children of the Most High God. One of the most effective tools that Satan can use against us is our own ignorance that we are, in fact, children of God, and that we can rely on God for all of our processes and all the stuff that we go through and all the stuff that we face. If he challenges us in that realm, then he is enabling doubt to take hold, and then we're using doubt instead of faith, and it's faith that we operate by that pleases the Lord. That's just the first statement. The second statement is I do think it's a challenge to Jesus and to his mission. And the reason that you would say that from a theological point of view is because he says, if you are the Son of God, and in the temptations, one of the things he does is offers Jesus the microwave path, the non-crucifixion path to get to being the one who reigns over the whole earth. He said, I'll give you the whole earth. I'll give you all that stuff. All you got to do is bow down and worship me. That was a shortcut to the Messiahship title. And so Satan's challenging when he says, if you're the Son of God, if you're really on point, if you're really on mission, your mission, you're going to be in charge of the whole world. I'll give you a way to get there. And so there, to me, it's kind of both of those are kind of singing together. And what I want you to catch is that the enemy does both of these things against us. And it's in the first gospel, in the first confrontation with Jesus, and we ought to be aware. Satan challenges us for who we are as people and challenges us for the mission that God has called us to. He would love to do nothing more than to derail us off of our mission or off of our purpose. Nothing more than to get us so consumed with all the affairs of life that they, if in effect, choke out the effectiveness of the Word of God. Think of the parable of the sower. And it's the third person that receives the seed, that receives the Word of God, is totally happy about the Word of God, loves that they're engaging, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and all the things that are going on in society take the fruit out, and there is no productivity that comes. That's what Satan wants us to do. So focused on all the other things, we don't accomplish mission. Now, there is a better reason for you to exist once you said yes to Jesus than you just surviving, paying bills, being part of a genealogy. Like, oh, no, that's the most important thing. People's legacy is not the most important thing. Jesus and his legacy is the most important thing. So don't ever mix those up, right? In fact, tomorrow we're going to talk about the superstardom that doesn't exist in Christianity. Here's the truth. Satan wants to derail you and I from understanding that we are children of God and from fulfilling our purpose and our mission from God. We all have a general mission. We're all called to be thankful. We're all called to be reflective of the glory of Jesus Christ, which some of us do better than others. I think that's a fair statement. But we're also called to do something in particular. You're not going to find out what that particular thing is unless you're working on the general. You're not going to get the specific unless you're working on the general. The idea behind this is to recognize the first challenge from Satan is against who Jesus is and what his mission is, and that's what he's going to do to you and me. That's what he does to you and me. And we've read through the scripture. We looked at Thessalonians. We looked at Colossians. There are a couple of skirmishes. There are a couple of battles that Satan, he wins against us. He never wins the war, but he has moments. Now, it's not like God hasn't already organized it and coordinated it to teach us and help us grow from that, but Satan, he's not around doing nothing. He's not sitting in – people have this picture of Satan sitting in the middle of the earth. He's sitting on a throne. There's just flames behind him. He's walking – his whole agency is like an angel of light. Looks good. It's just a lie. And that's the big thing we got to be aware of. So the first thing he does to Jesus is drops against him his mission and who he is as the Son of God. Has Satan challenged you on whether you are a daughter or a son of the Most High God? If you've ever wondered or doubted that, you've gone through that same temptation that Jesus went through. Just think of that. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. And what I got next is 1,000 times more intense. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a wholehearted welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you and a very important point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the father and the father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the father's like. Now listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect heavenly Father who reveals his will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our king, our shepherd, our father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have. I always will.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Getting ready for our first trivia question. Usually trivia is not that difficult on the first day of the week, but then again, you never know. All right, Miriam and Aaron were upset with Mo. Where we did our play last week on the Mo play. Miriam and Aaron were upset with Mo because he married a woman who was a what? What's the background of the woman? That's what. They were upset about this. Miriam and Aaron were upset with Moses because he married a woman who was a... Okay, then you got to fill in the blank. If you need to know where to look, I will give you that opportunity because I do like it when people look them up in Scripture, not on Google. Check it out in Numbers chapter 12. I think you'll pick it up right off the bat. Numbers chapter 12. If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. That's the number to call in. You get to talk to Terrific T. It's always terrific. You can text in 214-210-8483. That'll come right to the phone here. And then additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's what we're looking for. Miriam and Aaron were upset with Moses because he married a woman who was and then you got to give me the background. And this was his, most people recognize this as his second wife. But if you want to fight about that in Scripture, call another show. I'm not in the mood for fighting. I will let you know as an update in school. So I have one last week in this class that I'm in and then a second week in the second class that I'm in. So once I get through to Sunday, then it'll be normal scheduling for me and I won't feel like my brain is being pulled in four or five different directions. That kind of feel like that would be nice. Let's see. We covered the website. We've got the DNA is already put in the program, so we don't have to worry about that. I've got to talk to you about this material that we're going to cover. It's not controversial. It's what I'm going to share about myself that may help you understand what's the wrong part of this whole process. And so here we're going to back it up. I'm going to go back into Matthew. Again, if you want to answer that trivia question, why were Miriam and Aaron, mad at Moses, the answer is in Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. I want to back up real quickly to what this took place. So again, chapter 4, verse 1, in Matthew, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Okay. Then the tempter approached him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. So we just discussed in the prior segment that if you are the Son of God might be more of a challenge to his mission than to who he was as an individual. I see it as both. I see the devil challenging us as to who we are and what we're called to do. But it's what he says next that is just a mind blower. So we do have somebody calling in, and we're going to give them a chance to answer. And the reason is because I don't want to have any interruptions when I tell you why it's a big deal that he said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. There's 3 points out of there that we got to make, and you may like none of them, or maybe one of them, or you can at least understand them. That's all I can go with. Do we have somebody that's going to answer trivia? Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, Mayor. Mary, did you just call me Mary? That's so funny.
I started to say hi, Mary. Oh, I'm crazy.
That's hilarious. Oh, that's great. All right, Mary. Miriam and Aaron, they were upset with. She's still laughing. All right, Miriam and Aaron were upset with Moses because he married what kind of woman? What kind of woman were they mad about?
An Ethiopian woman.
That is correct. It can be either Ethiopian or Cushite. And it's funny because there's some people that argue about that, but all of the historians recognize that's the same thing. It's like saying a United Stateser or a person from America. It's like, I don't see a huge difference there.
I got to ask you a question. Now, when I first turned on the radio, you said something about, is somebody having surgery? One of our
my professor.
I call this our radio family. In our radio family.
It's actually my professor at the school is having some surgery on his today, right now. So his name is Professor A. So we prayed for him real quickly, and if you can just lift him up in your prayers for speedy recovery, we just call him Professor A because he has a long name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you just call him Professor A. He's cool with it.
Okay.
Just pray for him. We prayed for him already, but when you hang up, just say a prayer for him. We just want to cover all the people that impact our lives, and whether it's somebody directly on the radio that we hear or somebody that's in your life or something that's going on, we just want to be that kind of Christian community that cares enough to think of others and to pray for them.
Yeah, we need to pray for one another,
Exactly.
It makes you feel good if you know somebody's praying for you. You know, it gives you a little bit of
strength,
I think.
That's right. All right, good job on the trivia. Excellent answer, as always, and you did a great job, even though you called me Mary in the beginning.
Okay.
All right, man. God bless you.
All righty.
Take care.
Okay, thank you. All righty. Bye-bye.
You know what's going on at their house when they have tea. They're talking about that, right? That's funny. They're going to talk about that. I just think it's hilarious. All right, let's go back to this text. I really want to get into this. It's really good, okay? The tempter approached him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. You're thinking, well, what's the big deal about that? Aha. Let me tell you what the first temptation actually was. I mean, I'm going to give you the nuts and the bolts, the practicality and the theology all wrapped up in one. Satan tried to get Jesus to use his ability to take care of himself, to give favoritism towards himself, when the abilities that he had to operate in, the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing, the miracles, the signs, were for the sake of others. That is it in a nutshell. I'll say it in 10 different ways. None of it's going to matter. It's all going to come down to the same thing. It all comes down to Satan tried to get Jesus to use the ability he had to operate in the Spirit on himself. He's like, hey, why don't you take these stones and turn them to become bread? You're hungry. One commentator wrote this, which, by the way, is brilliant. Satan's test was subtle, for since Jesus is the Son of God, he had the power to turn the stones all around him into bread. But that was not the will of his Father for him. The Father's will was for him to be hungry in the desert with no food. You think, well, how do you know that's true? Because the Holy Spirit led him up into the desert to be tempted, and that's where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Satan tried to get him to break it by using his power on himself. Now watch, I know that's just like, wait, what? Watch this. I just did something like this, only I failed. Okay? I'm just telling you what happened. June 30th. So that's what? What is it? June 30th, 6 days ago. We have our little dog, Bert. Bert's outside. It's 1:45 in the morning. He's sick. He ate something. He's a puppy. So puppies eat stuff you're not supposed to eat. Right? So I'm out there in my robe and my pajamas in the backyard at 1:45 in the morning with a dog that's like semi-hurling. You know, this is just a small dog. So they go, bah, bah, bah. And so what do? I pray for Bert that the Lord will just heal him. Now, just hold on. Before anybody says a word, just listen to what I'm saying. I didn't pray for Bert because I cared about Bert. I prayed for Bert so I could go back in the house because it was 1:45 in the morning and I was tired. And Bert's ailment was an inconvenience. I'm just telling you what happened. And so that spirit, that attitude, that's the temptation. To use it for your own benefit or for your own sake, even at the base or the core of using the gifts of God for your wellness and not the wellness of others, which, by the way, tells you that those people that have taken money from people and have not at least attempted to be good stewards with their money but have used it on all kinds of wackadoodle things, they're going to get it. They're going to get it. And it's just like, I'm just saying, you can't get away from it. It's like, I like being cheap because it helps me. It helps me understand. I'm trying to be cheap, Lord. I'm trying to do this right. Here's the bottom line. Satan was trying to get Jesus to use his power for his own benefit, and that's not why God gave him the abilities that he did through the Holy Spirit. And what we do is think about ourselves and our own benefit. And that, when you're operating in the things of God for the sake of others, the sin is when you point it towards yourself. That was the temptation. It would have been Jesus submitting to Satan's suggestion to satisfy his hunger, which would have been contrary to the situation he was in and the will of God for that situation. And why that's important is because you must understand that when the Lord blesses you, guides you, directs you, does all these things, and is working through you, it is not so that you can be glorified or that you can be blessed instead of being the avenue of blessing. It's not that God won't bless you. Of course he will. But you can't be the central. You can't be the center focus. We have to be Christ-centric, which means Jesus in the middle. That's what it means. So this temptation was for Jesus to use his power for himself. So in a technical sense, the first temptation was selfishness versus selflessness. Let's think about that from a theological point of view. Wow. How's that for deep? Yeah, it's pretty good. All right, folks, we're going to take our break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
First and foremost, we want to review our most important element of the day, and that is our DNA. Why is DNA important? Because a Christian should know what they're made of no matter what they're going through. Can I say this again as I've said it before? Let me do it real quick. Ready? More news is coming. I know it sounds prophetic, doesn't it? More, even different news today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and the next decade. Da, da, da. That's good. So in lieu of that, we have to have a certain way, and we need to be. Our DNA, Christian DNA, has three elements. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord or in his words. And A, always be ready to
serve.
Serve. There you go. So it's three simple things. DNA.